I got a question for you this morning. I want to ask you all right now. Is heaven for everybody? And I want you to think about that. Is it for everyone? Philippians, I want you to turn to Philippians 3rd chapter, 13 through 21. I'm going to go there in a little bit and read. And I'm going to have a prayer here in just a little bit with it as well. I want to ask you a question this morning. Have you ever felt out of place? Have you ever been someplace where you have felt out of place? Tink and myself have been to different gatherings down through the years, mostly for work, sometimes for church. Most of them have been connected to work events, though. And the thing that I did whenever I went in there was I sat down, and the first thing I was doing, I was looking for the exit doors. Because I felt out of place. I remember feeling uncomfortable. And not all these have been connected with work. I've been in church services before, and you may say amen to this, where I felt uncomfortable too. Trying to be with somebody or think with somebody that thinks like I do, believes like I do, and thinking, is there anyone in here who knows actually what it's like to be a Christian? Believes like we do. And then when we're done and we're walking out the door and we're looking at one another and thinking to myself, you know what? That wasn't my cup of tea. I understand that. And as all of you, has anybody in here had this kind of experiences before? Has anybody here? Let me see your hands if you have. Most of us have had those kind of experiences where you've done that. And maybe some of you here today are just guests here at this church for the first time. And just being in church makes you feel comfortable. Maybe you've been here before. Maybe you feel uncomfortable in the church. First off, the first thing we're thinking, when you walked in here, is this group of people just like I want to be with or be around? Maybe you're thinking that. I was there at one time in my life. I understand that. Coming into not ever going to church before at one time in my life and walking in and sitting down in the church and feeling like, is this really my kind of people? I hope if you're visiting here this morning that you don't feel that way. I hope not. For we truly want you to feel at home. Amen? We do. We truly want you to feel at home. And whether you come back to visit us again or whether you're not, we don't want anyone to walk out of this church here this morning feeling unwelcome. Nobody. But if you feel uncomfortable this morning because of the preaching, because of the teaching we're going to have here in a little bit, because of some of the testimonies, I'm telling you this morning, that's a different story. Because the Spirit's dealing with you. Now that's an issue between you and God, am I right? I mean, it's an issue between us and God if we don't make you feel welcome. But it's an issue between you and God if you hear here this morning and you feel uncomfortable about being in church. I've noted people in the past that were under so much conviction that they even actually felt sick. But God, through His Son Jesus Christ, and I want you to understand this, has made provisions to where you don't have to feel uncomfortable when you're around God's people. He has done that. You can feel like you belong. Whether you're in church, a gospel sing, whether you're here as around other Christians, no matter what it may be, listen to me, because you feel at home. Whenever you are saved, whenever God is in your life, you will feel at home being around God's people. Because you will. 1 John tells us this 4:4, and this isn't the scripture I'm going to preach on. I haven't even started preaching yet. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And when you know Jesus as your Savior. Now I want to tell you something. To know Jesus as your Savior is different than to know of Jesus. There's lots of people that know of Jesus. They know of Him at Christmas. They know of Him at Easter. They know of Him at different times in a year. But I'm here to tell you this morning, to know of Jesus is different than to know Him. Will you say amen to that? Listen, to know Him personally, I want to read some more scripture. John 17, 1 through 3. These words spake Jesus and lift up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, and Thy Son also may glorify Thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, this is the verse I want you to listen to and understand. And this is eternal life. Now, listen to this. That they might know thee, the only true God. This is eternal life. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's knowing him personally. If you want to experience eternal life in your heart, in your mind, in your body, you've got to know Jesus Christ personally. And when you get to know him personally, I'm here to tell you something this morning. Your desire will be to want to know more about him. Your desire will be want to be with those who are like-minded. Am I right? My desire, you know what? Like I've said, I have been to different places, to different events, and I have felt uncomfortable. I have never come to this church and felt uncomfortable. I have never been around body of believers where they have praised and worshiped God in spirit and truth, where I have ever felt uncomfortable. And if you're here this morning and you feel uncomfortable about being around those like that, you need to check and see where you're at and your standing with the Lord is. And guess what? When you know Jesus personally, you will feel uncomfortable in the world. Amen? You will feel uncomfortable, and you will find yourself wanting to let others know about Jesus. You will find yourself wanting to let those who maybe don't think the same way you do, you're wanting to want them and let them know about Jesus. Now, with that being said, I want to get back to my main point, to my scripture this morning. As we all know, there are going to be some that will not accept the message. Will you agree with me on that? There are going to be some that will not accept this message. This morning, I want to explore the question then with you again. I'm going to ask you, is heaven for everyone? Let us turn to Philippians, the third chapter, 13 through 21. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rules. Let us mind the same things. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk as ye have as for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and whose mind earthly things. For our conversation is in the heavens, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. I want to read 18 again, because that's going to be the main focus of my text this morning. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning again, Lord, I praise you for the opportunity to stand here, Lord, this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the desire, Lord, that you know what? That all these have here this morning to be in your house, Lord. I thank you for that. I pray this morning, Father, that the hearts, Lord, that you would look into them, Lord. And the Father, as you look into them, Lord, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you would open up the minds, open up the hearts, Lord. And you know the hearts and minds of everyone that's here this morning. You know those that are lost. You know those that are playing church. You know those, Lord, that Father, are back on you. Father, you know all these things, Lord. And Father, we give it to you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Is heaven the kind of place where everyone will be? Is heaven for everyone? Well, let me read you some scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Again, I'm asking you at the sound of my voice, will every human that ever lived end up in heaven? No. No, they won't. There are churches that believe that. And they teach that. There are religions that will teach that. There are people throughout the ages who have embraced it. It's a term that's called universalism. That's what it's called. And what it is, and just a brief summary of it, it says that everyone, no matter what it is, will end up in heaven one of these days. But they totally overlook the scripture that I just read to you. They totally overlook it. Now, there's one verse, but I believe this. We need to go by more than just one verse. You know, well, I'm going to tell you something right now that I believe. There is a law, there is a principle that runs throughout this Bible, and all of us should take heed to it. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the first verse, and I want you to turn there, because I believe this is a principle, and I believe it is a law that everyone needs to go by. No matter whether or not you stand upon a doctrine, no matter whether you stand upon a principle that you believe is true in the Bible, I believe this goes through a thread that goes from Numbers and goes right on through to the Bible. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the first verse, and it tells us this. This is the third time I am coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. The principle that I believe that the Bible tells us about is, I don't believe that there'll be one verse of Scripture in the Bible that anybody should base a doctrine off of. Do you believe that? I believe that whenever you're going to base a doctrine off of a piece of Scripture in the Bible, there should be other Scriptures in there that back it up or verify it. And I do not believe that there will be contradictory Scriptures to it either, because I believe we take the whole Scripture as a whole. And I believe that, you know what, that is the thing by which we say. So now getting back to my point. So we've got one scripture that says that. So what else does the Bible teach us about universalism? Does the Bible teach that everyone ends up? Let's look at something else. It says, Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is a gate, and narrow is a way which leadeth unto life, then few there be that find it. Folks, this aisle here is fairly wide, and I can walk down it pretty much unobstructed. What Jesus is telling us there is, you know what? The gate that leads to destruction is wide, it's well-worn, and people will feel comfortable in it. Am I right? People will grow to feel comfortable because that gate is that wide and that path is that wide. And he said, there's going to be many that are going to find it. But I'm here this morning to tell you there's another gate also. And it tells us that that gate is narrow, that path is narrow, and there's going to be few that's going to be on that gate. So I'm here to tell you this morning to say, is there a way that ends in destruction? Yes, there is. So to say that everyone will end up in heaven one of these days is a misnomer. It's a lie. The path that leads to destruction is described as having a wide gate, a broad path. It is well worn, like I said. The broad path is the direction of life that is normal to a lot of people. Out here in this world we live in today, it's normal. There's a normality about it out there today that is out there, and everybody thinks it's okay. Everybody thinks it's great. Everybody thinks, well, you know what? This is the way that it should be. That's what the Bible is telling us about, though. Did you know what? That way leads to destruction. It's no wonder. It's no wonder whenever we're talking about a straight and narrow way that those that are unsaved don't feel at home and don't feel comfortable whenever they're around the people of God. Amen? You know what? When we're talking about the narrow way, it's a single gate, a road eternal. And it's no wonder that happens. So we want to find the teaching of Jesus warning us. Not every road leads to heaven. Am I right? Not every road leads to heaven. I didn't make it up. I'm going to read Scripture to you. You know what? It's not an arrogant claim. I'm not making some arrogant claim up here this morning. Claim that my way is better than anybody else's way. But it's clear teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that there is only one way. It's popular in our culture today to believe that there is many ways. Not only is it unpopular to believe that, but guess what? People will call us downright hateful and uncaring and unloving if we state our case about that. If all paths end up in the same destination, then it must be true that all religions end up in heaven. If that is the worldview, then it must be true that all religions end up in heaven. Now, I want to ask you something. Do you know Satanism is a religion? Satanism is a religion, as well as religions that practiced human sacrifice in the past. So if we want to believe in humanism, universalism, I'm here to tell you this morning, if they're saying everybody ends up in heaven, those people, those individuals will end up there just as well. If all roads lead to the same place. For all people to ultimately end up in heaven, God would have to force people to be there. Did you understand that? You see, the Bible teaches God has given us the freedom to reject the plan of salvation. God has given us the freedom. You know what that concept is? And you've heard it many times. Everyone in here this morning is a free moral agent. That term is there. Every one of us have the opportunity to choose. Everyone that's in here this morning, you have to make that choice for yourself. And the saddest to think, there are going to be those that will reject what Jesus Christ has offered to us. That's your choice. Everybody, ultimately to make it to heaven, that is your choice. That would mean that God would have to overpower people's will. He would have to force them, even though they choose not to go. And there are people are choosing not to go every day, so that would mean that God would force them to go to heaven. Romans 13:2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, that they resist shall receive to themselves damnation. If they keep resisting, if they keep turning it down, and I don't know everybody's heart here this morning. I don't know why God intended me to preach now. But I'm here to tell you, I believe that if you turn it down, you resist it, you walk over top the blood of Jesus Christ. You walk over top of what God has done. John 1:12-13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus warns us that the broad road doesn't lead to heaven. It does not lead there. And if someone continues down it, ultimately, it leads to hell. It'll lead to disaster. That's where it goes. If you keep down that path before. Now, there are requirements. We all know that to get into heaven. We know, and we know that. I want to read the scripture about the requirements to hell, because I'm going to be preaching on hell, Lord willing, next week. If heaven is for all people, what about hell? Is hell for all people? And I'll get into that next week. But there is requirements to go to hell. Do you know that? Revelations 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Which is the second. Right there. That tells you a lot. If you want to talk about how what's going to get people to hell, right there is going to be their requirements. And I don't know about you, but that does not sound to me like everyone's going to heaven one of these days. It doesn't sound to me like heaven is for everyone. Not that God didn't make it that way, but that people will not, they'll reject it. Listen to me, there are some that believe to get into heaven, it's on your own merits. That's not what the Bible says. As a matter of fact, according to a Time magazine study, 62% of Americans believe that that's how they're going to get to heaven, is because of their merit. Every major religion presents it that way too. Do it yourself is a way to gain entrance into heaven. Listen, in offering their own unique ways of doing it. I don't have time, I don't have space to the Lord here this morning to get into that, but I can tell you, yet when it comes to your own merit, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible does not even say that. We'll never make it. Isaiah 64:6. Some of the great scripture talks about that. It tells us. But we are all as unclean things. And all our righteousness. Do you get that? All our righteousness is as what? It's as filthy rags. It's as filthy rags. I don't care. And I'm going to say this morning. I say this with all the love and tender in my heart. You could come to church every Sunday and give every dime that you have. And if you are not saved, you're still lost. You could go out here in the community and help every homeless person that's out there. You could go out there and you could work for every charity that's out there. And if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, you're still not going to heaven. You get what I'm saying? Our merits. We could feed countless amounts of those that are hungry. We could go and we could give clothing to all those. We could help every kid, every adult around this world. We could do that. And I'm not saying those are bad things, but I'm here to tell you, if that was what you're counting on getting to heaven without the precious blood of Jesus, you'll not make it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, that's God, has made him, which is Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That tells it right there, does it not? There was only one perfect sacrifice that could be presented to God that could stem, that could take care of the sin in our lives. I wasn't perfect. I'm still not perfect. And I would venture to say that if you would raise your hands and hear me, every one of you, tell me that you're not perfect. But yet, if you are saved this morning, I'm here to tell you through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you are able, you are fit, you are worthy. No matter if we're imperfect or not, because guess what? Every bit of the precious blood of Jesus Christ was presented to God for you and me. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. John 14:6 causes more heartburn than anything in the world. You just go out there and you just say this scripture out in the world today, and you'll be more venom thrown at you. There'll be more hatred directed at you. But here's why. It's not arrogant for Christians to claim that Jesus is the only way. There are those who would say it's hateful. You're a bigot. It's intolerant. It's arrogant to insist that one man-made road to heaven is the only way. Well, I'm going to hear tell you, I agree with that. One man-made road to heaven is wrong. If I stood up here and said that one man-made road to heaven is the only way, I'm wrong. Jesus wasn't a man. Jesus was God in the flesh, the Son of God. And whenever he says that I am the way, the only way to get to God, it is the truth, folks. That is not arrogant, because he is not a man. He's not Buddha. He's not the Hindu. He's not any of that. He is truly the Son of God, no matter what they want to think. Romans 8:34, and he, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who even sits at the right hand of God, and who maketh intercession for you and I. Yes, that's why there's only one way that we can get there. Only one way. And you know what? Christianity claims to be the road to God himself, and it's based on biblical truth. Nothing else. It is based on biblical truth. Listen to me. One way to God, that's good news, that is gospel. Listen to me. Would it be arrogant if you were in a burning building and you told another individual that you needed to get out because of safety, that they needed to get out of that building? Would that be arrogant of you to do that? No. Would it be arrogant for you to say, you know what, to take a prescribed medication because that medication will help you, will heal you? Would that be arrogant of you? No. And for us to tell people that Jesus, the good news of the gospel, that is not arrogant. Amen. Don't ever let the devil put you down like that. Don't ever let the devil persuade you that you are being hateful, that you are being unloving and uncaring because you believe that Jesus is the only way that can get us to heaven. Because that's not. We are actually doing what God wants us to do. We are actually doing and helping and loving whenever we do that. Mark 16:15-16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. For we know for sure God desires salvation for all people. He desires it for everyone. 1 Timothy 2:4, for who will have all man to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that his blood was shed for you and I. That is the truth. And we can stand upon that this morning and we do not have to back down from that. We do not have to back down. And yet, and also we know for sure that salvation comes through Christ alone. Acts 4:2, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Remember I told you we should take 2 to 3 scriptures, right? Jesus said it himself. Here in Acts are telling us again. He is the only way. He is the only way. Is heaven for everyone? Yes. But will it be? No. No. And not because God didn't make a way, but because of the hardness of men's heart. Hebrews 3rd chapter 7 through 11. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in thy wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. For someone to say that everyone will make it to heaven is a fabrication. It is a lie. Is heaven for everyone? Oh, yes, I believe heaven was made for everyone. But will everyone go there? No, because God's not going to force them to go over top of their will. You and I, we have to keep on pressing. We have to keep on praying. We have to keep on teaching. We have to keep on preaching. We have to keep on witnessing to those people that don't know the truth. Because guess what? Maybe one of these days the Spirit will get a hold of them. Show them that their need. I had to be shown my need. You understand that? I had to be shown that I had a need in my life. There was a long time, Ryan, I didn't think I had a need. You know that? I walked in this life and I didn't think that I had a need. I thought, you know what? I don't need that. I'm good just the way that I am. God's Spirit finally got a hold of me and shook me to where I realized I had a need. When I got on my knees and got saved, you know the story. Now, if you're here this morning and I want to ask us, I know this is totally off the norm, but you know what? Guess what? It does us good sometimes to get off the norm. Does it not? It does us good sometimes to shake things up a little bit. Not only with services, but especially in our Christian walk. And I believe we do need to shake things up sometimes. I'm here to ask you this morning, are you walking down the broad path and thinking, man, you know what? This is great. I can walk. I'm free. I can do what I want to. I don't worry about any of this kind of stuff. Listen, that's a lie from Satan. He's got you where he wants you. He's got you where he wants you. They come and get a song.